Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, The Films, Passages, The Dive, and Wayne Shorter, Zero Gravity.
I would like to talk about three very different kinds of films today, and the first one is called Passages. And I will say right at the get-go, I regard this as not a very good movie, although it's by a filmmaker who has done very good work in the past, Ira Sachs. Ira Sachs specializes in gay films, and actually I really like one of his earlier films way back in 2007 called Married Life, which is about a man who decides to murder his wife, and so it's not exactly a gay film. But since then, he's made a number of movies that deal very forthrightly with gay subjects, some better than others, but generally the level of achievement of Ira Sachs has been, in my opinion, quite high. Passages, I think, is really, really not so good. And the reason is that I think that it's just very ordinary. It's basically just a love triangle movie. It doesn't really bring anything new, except for the fact that two of the three angles of this triangle are gay men. But before I get to that, I want to say a word about a little controversy that has surrounded Passages. It does have some very steamy sex in it. It has a one particular sex scene which seemed to my eyes to go on and on and on forever between the two men who are main characters. And this earned the movie, when it was first passed before the Motion Picture Association of America, it got an NC-17 rating. Now, the NC-17 is what used to be a very, very long time ago the X rating, which means that if you're under 17 years old, you're not allowed to come in and see it, even if a parent or guardian is willing to bring you. And this started way, way back many, many years ago. The X rating came along with the rating system back in the late 1960s. But the X soon turned into a marketing tool. It was meant to be a warning to viewers. Look out, this movie has stuff in it that you really might not want children to see, or young people even. But then it became a marketing tool. See this movie, triple X rating and all that. So the idea came along of changing it to a less sexy name, the NC-17, which basically means no children under the age of 17. So that was the rating that was initially given to Passages. And this upset, understandably, Ira Sachs, and it upset the distributor, MUBI, because they felt that this is really going to cut down on people wanting to see our movie. They'll think it's a dirty film or something like that. And it's actually, of course, quite a serious film, even though it has some very explicit sex in it. So they decided to release the movie unrated, which can be done, which is a very easy way to get around an NC-17 rating if you're afraid that that is going to hobble your business. So the movie is out now unrated, and it joins a long list of movies that are unrated. But part of the controversy has been, is Passages really that full of sex? Or is it the fact that it's gay sex that got the Motion Picture Association to give it this very extreme rating, the most restrictive rating that there is? You know, if you look back at the history of NC-17 movies, you find a very wide range of films. The first one to ever get it was Henry and June, quite a serious movie about American literature, among other things. You know, it had some sex in it. Nowadays, I think Henry and June would probably look like about an R-rated movie to us, maybe even a PG-13, maybe not that. But I don't think that we would think of that as something that deserved an X or an NC-17. And since then, a lot of movies have gotten the NC-17, including not too long ago, Blue is the Warmest Color, which was a movie about lesbians, which starred one of the people who's in the new movie, Passages. So anyway, I don't really care about the NC-17 or the unrated status of it. The movie does have some pretty heavy-going sex in it. I think there's about three sex scenes in it, one of which, as I said already, seems to my eye to go on forever. My eye and my ear, because, of course, there's a lot of heavy breathing and panting going on. But the movie really, other than these scenes, strikes me as being pretty harmless. And I'm surprised that it would even for a moment have an NC-17 rating, and I think they did a wise thing by releasing it just as an unrated movie and let people, you know, do their research in advance and figure out what they want to do. In any case, I haven't yet said exactly what Passages is about. Passages is about a young movie maker, a gay movie maker who is married to a young artist. I say young, they are young adults. Usually, Ira Sachs tends to make movies about middle-aged people. This time he's dealing with people who are a little bit younger than that. And the movie director character falls in love with a woman. And there is your love triangle. So yeah, it's a teensy little bit unconventional because it's the love triangle where two of the characters are gay and married to each other, and then the third person who comes along is a member of another gender. But my gosh, once you get past that, it's just so ordinary. I just kept thinking, when is there going to be some surprise in this movie? When is there going to be something really dramatic? When is there going to be something really romantic or really tragic? And it just never came along to my eye. So it's a nicely acted movie. It's a well-directed movie, but not an exciting movie at all. I have to mention that it has gotten ecstatic reviews. People are loving it all over the place. I am not one of those people. I think that it's a nice, interesting movie in its own little modest, not exciting way. But if you want to see something that's really going to get you going and give you some real excitement and some real originality and some real bite and surprise, I would see almost anything out. Well, not almost anything out there, but I would see something other than Passages. I personally found it a dull and ordinary movie with the gay angle. And by the way, there are so many movies now with gay angles, giving it a tiny little bit of novelty, but not nearly enough to make it a movie of major interest for me. So I say Passages, not a very good film. I'm sure Ira Sachs will rebound and do a movie that is more to my liking one of these days, and I look forward to when that happens. Second movie today, very different. It is called The Dive, and The Dive is about, well, just what the title may suggest. It is about diving. And this is kind of interesting because we seem to have movies that deal nowadays with especially women in situations that seem pretty dangerous, sporting situations. Just recently, there was a documentary called The Deepest Breath about basically about people who compete to go underwater and hold their breath for a really long time without any kind of equipment or gear. And the documentary focused on a young woman whose ambition since childhood was to be the world champion at that sport. And then more recently, there was a movie that doesn't deal with diving or being underwater, but which I like the best of all these movies, a movie called Fall, which is about two young women who decide to, they love climbing mountains and things like that, and they decide to climb up an enormously high, abandoned broadcasting tower. And it's just this great big, huge obelisk stretching up into the heavens, and they decide to climb up it. And since I am an acrophobe, I don't like heights. For me, it was one of the most effective horror movies I've seen in ages, and I really liked it. So if you want to see a movie about two young women in danger, I recommend Fall. Today's, and then, by the way, there was a movie back in 2003 called Open Water about a couple of scuba divers who got abandoned when their cruise ship went off without them. And there they are in the middle of the ocean with nothing for hundreds or thousands of miles and sharks swimming around them. I won't tell you how that one comes out. So The Dive is another movie about two people in danger. In this case, it is two young women. They are sisters, and they love to go diving, and they are scuba divers. And I know something about scuba diving because I used to do it years ago. SCUBA, you know, stands for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. And it means that you have these air tanks and you have this mask over your eyes and in this case over your face, and you can swim around and you have your swim fins on and all that. You can visit the fishies and you can have a nice time underwater. So these two young women go and they take a dive in a very remote place. The movie was filmed, by the way, in the coast off Malta. And these two women are pretty much the only people you ever see during the entire film. Because very early in the movie, they drive to the shore and they park their car and they climb down a rocky escarpment or something like that. And they put on their gear and they go into the water and they have intercoms in their masks cover their whole faces so they can talk to each other through their little intercoms. And there they are having a lovely time. And they go down pretty deep, not dangerously deep, but pretty deep. And they start to look for the entrance to this cave, and that's very nice, and there are fishes around. But very early in the movie, so this is not really a spoiler, there's a sort of underwater landslide. A bunch of rocks suddenly start falling down, crashing down as much as you can crash underwater. And one of our two divers gets her legs trapped under a couple of rocks, and they cannot budge those rocks. They will not move. So there they are, way, way down, many, many meters down underwater, when there's no other people around anywhere, even on the land, much less under the water. So what are they going to do? Well, again, they can talk to each other. And the one who is trapped seems to keep her good judgment a little bit better. It's the one who is not trapped who panics more. And she says, well, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to swim up to the surface, and you're going to have to go to the car and get another one of our air tanks and bring that down to me, because I'm going to run out of air very soon. And then you have to get a hold of something that we can use to pry this rock off my legs. And there is a crowbar or some sort of a car jack, actually, in the trunk of the car. So go get that. And so, okay. So the diver who is not trapped goes up to the surface and does all of those things as well as she can, only she can't get into the trunk of the car. And when she's bringing one of the extra air tanks down, she drops it. So things like that happen. And eventually it starts to look like the situation is getting more and more serious by the moment. And of course, the trapped diver is running out of air, and then they get her some extra air, but that's not going to last forever. So what are they going to do? So what we mainly have in this movie is the trapped diver underneath the water with her legs underneath the huge rock, and the non-trapped diver running around up above trying to get the car open. She can't get the trunk of the car open. You need the key to do that. She doesn't have the key. And trying to find if there's anybody else anywhere in the neighborhood who might be anywhere in the area that might be able to help. She sees a boat off in the distance, and she tries to signal them for help, and it looks like they may have seen her, but then she has to go back down instantly to get extra air because she knows that the trapped diver is about to run out of air. Anyway, I'm sounding a little bit breathless here myself. Is the dive a really hair-raising movie? Is it really scary? Is it really suspenseful? What is it? Very suspenseful. I can't say that it captured my imagination the way Fall did, for example, recently. It didn't exactly keep me on the edge of my seat. For one thing, they're way underwater, and so everything looks very pretty, but it looks a little murky. You can't always tell exactly what they're doing. There's a lot of detailed fiddling around with equipment down there and stuff like that. So I enjoyed watching The Dive. If you like suspense movies, definitely check it out. It's very easy to find on streaming. I just don't think it's a great example of the breed, but it's a good example of the breed. And I did have a good time watching it. And if you're an aficionado of scuba diving, then by all means, don't miss it. And so our final movie today, again, three very different movies. This is a documentary, and it is called Wayne Shorter, Zero Gravity. Wayne Shorter was one of the great jazz saxophone players. And he started out when he was quite young playing the tenor saxophone, and then he switched to the soprano saxophone later on. He rose and rose within the ranks of jazz musicians. When he was still fairly young, he joined a marvelous group called Art Blakey's Jazz Messenger. Messenger's a very, very important member of that group. Later on, he joined Miles Davis, one of the greatest jazz musicians of all time, in my opinion, and I think in everybody's opinion, and he worked with various others along the way. I think his greatest period, personally, I think, was with Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, starting in the late 1950s. And then after that, as he moved on, he dealt with, again, worked with Miles Davis, who was very, very great, and eventually co-founded, along with Joe Zawinul, co-founded a group called Weather Report. So, as I've kind of indicated, Wayne Shorter, for me, and I love jazz, his greatest work was back with Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, where he was phenomenal. That group also had Lee Morgan, one of the greatest trumpet players to ever walk the earth, in my opinion, and he was really great then. Then he joined Miles Davis, and even though Miles Davis is incredibly great, along with Miles Davis, Wayne Shorter was a pioneer of what was called jazz fusion, which was a fusion of jazz and rock and roll. Now, when I first heard that was coming along back in the 1960s, I thought, this is great. I love rock and roll. I love jazz. Bring them both together. It'll be the ideal music, maybe outside of classical music. Unfortunately, the results didn't please me all that much. And this is just my personal opinion. But I was never really all that much into fusion music. And Wayne Shorter, again, was a founder of that, along with Miles Davis. And then when he got into Weather Report, they were doing very much fusion and even moving in the direction of free jazz. when you're operating outside of key signatures and stuff like that. And I've never liked free jazz all that much. My tastes are more traditional. Anyway, whether your tastes have anything to do with mine or not, Wayne Shorter's Zero Gravity is a very, very entertaining movie. It's actually a three-part series, and it's streaming on Amazon, so you can find it very easily if you have access to that. And it tells the whole story of Wayne Shorter's life and career, mainly career. It tells about how he and his brother both loved jazz when they were kids and both got into it, and how Wayne Shorter also loved movies and comic books and things like that, and all these things fed into his creative life. And then it tells how he got into these different forms of jazz over the years. Wayne Shorter just died a little bit earlier this year. I think it was in March. So this movie is a very, very nice tribute to him. Again, it's pretty long. It's roughly 3 hours long. And it was originally, I think, going to be even longer before they decided to release it as a three-part series, which it works out very well that way, and I had a good time watching it. So if you love jazz of almost any kind at all, you will very much enjoy Wayne Shorter's Zero Gravity. It has very engaging interviews with him, terrific interviews with a whole lot of other jazz people, and a lot of lovely excerpts of people playing their instruments. Nice movie, Wayne Shorter, Zero Gravity. It'll have you tapping your toes and humming along. And that is my pretty varied story this week.
For which we thank you, as always and ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Passages, The Dive, and Wayne Shorter, Zero Gravity.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.